B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
Hey, y'all. Mike Missinelli. 97.5 FM, Philly's first FM sports station.
We on an uneven playing field, top of the totem pole. 97.5, Mike Missinelli Show. Si, senor, we numero uno. And internationally large, just like the sumo. 2-6, Monday to TGIF. Mikey misses the Philly with Hades the wide clef. I'm man of the people, ambassador. Put this bull in the ring, they turn the matadors. Our competition completely non-existent. Burning up the phone lines, record number listeners. All the biggest names and the hottest topics. A runaway train in the drive time slot. It's kinda hard to stop us. On remote, standing ovation just like an opera. The best show on earth, I feel that's very proper. The most electric sports talk, ain't no need to shock ya. Turn your radios up, Mike's ready to rock.
Good afternoon, everybody. Mike Missinelli Show, 97. 5 is Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia. Welcome to our audiences listening and watching. We broadcast in the Xfinity Studio only from Comcast. I'm on an exploratory mission today because I'm hearing all this lamenting, and this loss to the Patriots has apparently made the bottom fall out of this city. So I want to get to the roots of this because it really hasn't, right? Now, ask yourself this question. Did you expect the Eagles to beat the Patriots? I'll wait. The answer to that is probably not, right? It's the Patriots. You looked at the schedule and go, all right, I'll probably lose that game. It might lose to Seattle, and we'll see what happens. But they're going to lose to the Patriots. It can't be Brady. I get it that they were close to winning that game. But at the end of the day, this fallout of this Patriots game has made this Eagle franchise this year worthless. And the quarterback who starts for this franchise, worthless. Now, is that a reality reaction? Or is this an overreaction? This is what I want to plug into today with you. Because in my mind, it's a slight overreaction. And only you can tell me that it's a logical reaction by extrapolating this whole thing out to the end. There are, I would say, a slight majority of people who have already come to the conclusion that Carson Wentz is not the right guy for this franchise. As we go on to the week, maybe we'll get off of that a little bit. I understand we are fresh, reactive people here. When something like that happens on Sunday, it's hard to digest, and we take it to an nth degree. But that's what we do in Philadelphia. We take it to the worst possible scenario. So I want you to think about this today. Because I got to be honest with you, I don't think it's that bad. I don't think we're that in dire straits. Now, you know, I'm not a fanboy. And frankly, I don't know what to feel about Carson. But here's what I know. It's too early to say, oh, my God, they made the wrong choice. Oh, my God, they got to trade him. Or they got to look for a new franchise quarterback to draft and start all over. What? Come on. It's not enough time hasn't gone by for you to make that kind of a conclusion. Now, is he on my poop list right now? Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, he is. I don't understand a lot of things beyond the fact that he's got terrible weapons that affect his confidence. The other side of that is that you should be so stout as a franchise quarterback making a lot of money that you can't let those kind of things affect your confidence. I look at a guy now as not as confident a player as I used to see. Whatever is influencing that, I don't know. Could it be something as simple as they don't have enough weapons and therefore he's grinding it out and he's trying to make plays and no plays are there and he doesn't know what to do with it? Well, if that's the case, he's got a lack of poise and that doesn't comfort me either. But here's what I'll say. A, the New England Patriots loss does not end the season. B, it is too early to bail out on Carson Wentz. There's some things, I'm not getting a great feel for the guy right now. So I don't know where I stand on whether he's the right guy or not. He's not exuding a lot of confidence in me right now. That might just be the sign of the times. I'll get over it, I think, if he snaps back and plays well against Seattle. Or if he beats the Dallas Cowboys later in the year, and that's the game that gets him into playoffs. And we won't be thinking this way. Well, we are classic overreactors to bad stuff that happens. And we're doing it with the Sixers now. Like, it's like, oh, it's all over for the Sixers because Ben won't shoot and they don't have any shooters and blah, blah, blah. We like to torture ourselves that way. Why? Why is it that Philadelphia fans love to torture themselves and look at, it's not going to happen? Instead of saying, well, we'll wait and see if it happens. I'm no suit enough if Carson Wentz is the franchise quarterback, but you can't bail out now and go, they should have kept Foles. They got to trade him. They got to do this. It's too early. Am I talking any sense here, Tyrone?
You are making sense, and I'm a reactor when it comes to baseball because there's a game the next day. So I can flip back the next day and go up and down. But with the football, until you're mathematically gone, I don't understand why there's so much gloom and doom. Now, I'm a person who believed 9 and 7 weeks ago, but the Patriots game didn't change my mind on anything about any individual player. There were also some circumstances that happened that aren't excuses, but they happened. Lane Johnson, for example, leaving the game. Perhaps he comes back from concussion protocol and plays lights out against Seattle, and they run the ball, and they keep Russell Wilson off the field, and they find a way to win the game. You still have to play the games out. Things happen in football and all sports that we don't necessarily expect.
Let's not get, like, all carried away because there are limitations on what they can actually do.
No, right? I don't think they can win a Super Bowl. What I'm saying is the line doesn't look good. I'm talking about the betting line. What I'm saying is, though, it wouldn't be the strangest thing in the history of the world for the Eagles to beat the Seahawks, for example. It wouldn't shock me if Carson Wentz played well in the game and they lost because the weapons aren't good enough. I'm saying that the sky is falling thing, it's too early for the sky is falling, in my opinion, especially when you're only one game behind in the division, and Dallas has some tough games.
Here's why it's not a sky is falling situation. And I'll go in another direction and say, is it appropriate to worry about the future of this team? It might be, because the general manager hasn't shown the ability to fortify this franchise with good drafts or good free agent signings. So I get that part, but that's just a separate topic for another day. If we're looking at it right now, the very best that I thought they could ever do was go 10-6, win a division, and maybe win a first round and play again because it's home. That's the best. So, like, I'm not, like, thrown off the boat at this point because they lost to the Patriots. Because then they go, they're going to beat the Patriots anyway, right? We had to factor in some losses as we get to the end of the year. Now, if they finish 9-7 and don't make the playoffs, then we got a discussion here, and we can get in that. But, like, right now, losing to the Patriots have made people come to many different conclusions. That this franchise is screwed. That they don't have the right franchise quarterback, that this franchise quarterback was the wrong choice. All these factors are coming into play because I'm getting them on calls every day. I'm getting email. I'm getting tweets. And whatever poll we had yesterday said 75% of people are out. Right?
So, yeah, you're right.
Like, so we are reactors. Now, it's only Tuesday. Monday, I can see the reaction. Sunday, after the game, react. Monday, we're trying to get over it. Tuesday, do we have a different perspective on it?
I hope so. And even with the draft thing, even long term, Jerry Jones had a bunch of bad drafts for Dallas. And then next thing you know, he had this great draft where he drafts a bunch of guys that can play. Maybe Howie's just one draft away. They have a bunch of picks. Maybe in the long term. Maybe not, but maybe. I do think that all the gloom and doom that hangs over this city is a character flaw that we have. And I do think that we should do a better job with it. There'll be plenty of time for gloom and doom. We'll know when it's time for gloom and doom. I don't think now's necessarily the time. I think it's too soon. But I think we're apt to go gloom and doom. We're very comfortable in the gloom and doom space as a fan base. And that's probably a flaw.
All right. Where do I stand on Carson Wentz right now? I am right in the middle. I'm not an apologist for Carson Wentz, nor am I a believer that they've got the right guy. And he put me in that mode. And I react accordingly. According to how I watch what I got with my own eyes where he's playing. He lacks confidence that may be influenced by the fact that he doesn't have a lot of talent around him. I can't get past the he lacks confidence part. I see him right now. This is probably a bad analogy. But to me right now, he's a badly dressed mannequin. He's in the store. He's there. He's 6'4". He's got bad clothes on, and I don't know whether to believe in him or not. And I don't mean that literally, that he's got bad clothes on him, although he does.
I get what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying? Like, he doesn't exude anything in me right now. Like, I look at him talk after games, and I go, I'm not getting you right now. Like, I don't know whether you're the guy or not. I know you've got some talent because you've showed it to me before, but I don't know, like, how you project to a football team. And so I'm still in the evaluation, and sometimes it takes longer to evaluate a guy than others.
I think that's a fair thing, and I think that's happening with quarterbacks in a lot of cities. I'm sure in L.A., that with Goff, the way he's played, people are evaluating him. That happens. That's happening in a lot of cities. So that's fair. At the same time, that mannequin could get picked up and put in the Armani section, and all of a sudden the clothes look a little bit better. So maybe if he can battle through this year, show a little bit more confidence. Let's say he gets in the playoffs. Let's just say for a second. Then in the offseason, they take off some of the, I don't want to down any brand of clothes, secondhand, third-hand clothes, and then he gets into some Armani, meaning some weapons. Maybe you like him a whole lot more next year,
maybe. Frankly, if he would show up in an Armani suit, I would like him a little better. Before he even says a word.
Well, there you go.
If he showed up in Armani, I would say, all right, now he's getting some self-awareness. Self-awareness is very important for a quarterback, and confidence in how people look at you.
Well, so this is like a philosophical question. Do you think his clothing choices have been a reflection of himself and the team not really having an identity?
I think that's a very poignant point, Nat. I think the way he dresses shows a lack of identity. And I can't have a lack of identity in my starting quarterback. Very, very well said.
Thank you. That's from the Dalai Lama book.
All right, there you go.
Quarterback who wears hats.
So we'll talk about it all here today. Here's how you get in. It's 610-632-0975. It is the Mike Missanelli Show. It's right here on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philly.
The Mike Missanelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Mike Missanelli Show, 2 o'clock hour. It's brought to us by Ferguson HVAC Lyon Conklin. If you're an HVAC contractor, visit Ferguson's counter location on North 7th Street in Philadelphia today for equipment, parts, and supplies for every heating and cooling job. Let's get our Twitter poll for today. It's brought to us by Paul B. Moyer & Sons. Small Business Saturday is coming up on November 30th, and to celebrate, Paul B. Moyer & Sons in Doylestown is having a 20% off sale store-wide. Mark your calendar for November 30th. Get over there and fill your shed like a pro. Visit paulbmoyer.com for details. Natalie Eganoff.
Thanks, Mike. Over 700 votes on this one early. Are we overreacting to the Eagles' loss to the Patriots? 39% say yes, 61% say no.
So 61%
feel we are not.
61% feel the season's in the toilet. Yes. After the New England game.
Yes.
That's like 10% so far less than yesterday.
It is less, which tells you something.
Yeah.
As the week goes on, our anger turns into dislike.
Yeah. And that's fair.
It dilutes.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. All right, it's still over 50%. And again, I want you to ask two questions. Number one, we were really supposed to beat New England Patriots. Number two, is it really fair to come to a conclusion right now on Carson Wentz in light of all the circumstances? Dave in Center City. First call of the day, Dave?
Give me an A. Give me a T. Give me an E. Give me an A. Give me an M. What's that spell?
It spells A-team. You're such a silly goose, Dave.
You know, I was actually a male cheerleader at Duquesne.
You're what?
I was actually a male cheerleader for 1 year when I was at Duquesne.
No, you were not. You were?
I don't deal in canards or prevarication.
You were cheerleader. Mike, not that there's anything wrong with that. I just can't see you as the cheerleader.
Mikey Miss, let me get down
to it. Right, go ahead.
I am still tickled pink about the direction the Eagles are going in. They're right on schedule for a Super Bowl 54 meeting with the Ravens at Hard Rock Stadium. But let's talk about this past game, Eagles-Patriots. To use a chess term, they played the Patriots to a stalemate. And if the Eagles scored, that game would have probably ended up in an overtime tie. Now, let me digress. 2 years ago, I've been saying the NFC is so watered down. Look how effective the Rams were against the Patriots in the Super Bowl last year. No current NFC team right now could give the Patriots type of game the Eagles gave them. But, Mike, I have to ask you a question.
Well, I totally disagree. It's not a great Patriots team. It's probably their worst good team that they've had in a really long time. But go ahead.
This is not the Aaron Hernandez.
Offensively, they're feeble. Yeah. Defensively, they're pretty good.
But let me ask you a question, because I know you've been tracking. I've been so tied up with these impeachment proceedings that I'm really not doing my homework with the remaining six games. Mm-hmm. Mike. What did Eagles Cowboys tiebreaker? Now, I haven't ruled out a three seed for us, but what has to happen with these six games? What do you see happening?
The Cowboys lose to the Patriots. The tiebreaker will be the common opponent. So you have to look, and that's still an ongoing situation. It looks like everything else will be tied to get to that tiebreaker of common opponents, and then you just have to figure it out. Just look at both their schedules, circle the common opponents, and chart up the records, but it still has to be played out.
What's your crystal ball say?
Crystal ball says you're nuts thinking they can win the Super Bowl.
That's what my crystal ball says.
Yeah. Come on, Dave. This is not a good team. Good enough to win the Super Bowl with these weapons? Seriously. The absolute best we could possibly do here in this town is 10-6, first round playoff game at home. It's the very best. You tell me you're gonna rely on these kind of skilled players to win something more than that? We're just kidding ourselves.
Could you imagine in a playoff game, you drop back and you go
ridiculous? You can't like misguide yourself. It's like it is what it is. You're hoping for the best in a bad lot here. Greg in Bethlehem. Greg, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Greg.
Hey guys, I was thinking that a lot of the problem was Wentz forcing the ball into tight coverage, but I remembered Peterson's press conference, and somewhere in that conference he said, I think talking about that Aguilar play, that they needed a splash play. Mm-hmm. And if I remember, there was like a minute to play. It was a fourth down. Belichick was bringing the house. It was a perfect opportunity to throw a screen pass to make a first down. They didn't need a splash play. They needed a first down. So I'm sort of leaning toward it being a bench problem more than a Wentz problem.
Well, see, herein lies the problem. If the head coach says they need a splash play and he doesn't know they don't have splash play receivers, then it's his problem. It's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. Now, he's just commenting and saying what he thinks he needs to be said to the media, and that's how he's justifying the play to Aguilar. But come on. See, this is the whole problem. He is not coaching on the fly and not realizing that his weapons aren't good enough for certain things. So you have to use screen passes. You have to use Miles Sanders in space. You got to do all that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it was a perfect opportunity. You knew Belichick was going to bring the house. It was fourth down. The Eagles needed to convert. You knew they were going to bring the house. And, what better opportunity to flare Sanders out? It was going to be man coverage on the back end. Mm-hmm.
He could have done that a lot during the game. He didn't do it a lot during the game. Now, the splash play, he thought Aguilar was going to come down. Listen, that play was, forced because they did blitz and he had to get rid of it. So I don't know if it was a straight play with no pressure, how that would have turned out.
Well, it's hard to say. It was interesting, though, because I wanted to refresh my mind on exactly what happened on that play. So I Googled Aguilar dropped passes. And
A lot of them come up. Yeah, a lot of them come up. Hembo tweeted something like a four picture collage of Aguilar.
And he said, hard to believe that he went 0 for 4 on those passes. When you see the ball placement, and one player does not cost the team when it's a receiver. Like, I get it. But it is unbelievable some of the passes he's managed to miss this season. Like, and make $9.5 million. Like, in some ways, he's the smartest Philadelphian ever. To make that much money with that little production makes you a genius.
It is weird that professional people can't look at a guy and say, you know what, he's too unreliable. You know, we can't bring him back for $9 million. He's too unreliable. I don't understand, like, the decisions that these guys do. Like, even with the Phillies, they brought back those guys. You know, the pitchers. It doesn't dawn on them. Nah, they're unreliable. We got to mix it up. We can't count on that again. But how do you not make decisions like that? If you're a professional talent evaluator who's coached guys and understands their ability, why do you fall for the same okey-doke?
Yeah, and Golden Tate was in their building, and he wasn't great when he was here. He was not. But he was also playing out of position a lot when he was here.
Mm-hmm.
He caught a touchdown pass in the Bears game to win the game, something Aguilar cannot do. Yet you go, you know what, let that guy walk. We'll keep this guy, knowing that they weren't going to re-sign him long term. Let's bring him back at $9.5 million guaranteed for 1 year. I don't understand it. And then he comes back and plays exactly like the fans knew he would, but somehow the building didn't know. Every fan knew he couldn't catch. Every fan knew. Yet somehow none of them knew. Like, how's that possible? Like, with the baseball thing.
I don't understand. I really don't. And when it comes to the game plan, it's like, how many coaches they have on offense? Despite the head coach is an offensive guy. They got offensive coordinator. They got many offensive
wide receiver,
right?
Clear, like, quality control
right.
coach.
So in an offensive meeting room, is there one guy that can stand up and go, hey, coach, listen, we got nothing. I mean, you see it, I see it. So we can't use the same stuff. Like, we gotta do some things that do put the two playmakers that we have in. Like, what? Are they not talking that way?
But it's a little different. This one's different, though. This one's actually even worse than the Phillies, because there were baseball guys, unlike you, Mike, who knew from the start, that were selling Pivetta like he was going to win a Cy Young. They had looked at these metrics and these analytics guys, and they got to some of the writers in Philly, and they wrote column after column about how great Pivetta was going to be based on these analytics. You used your eyes, but
I used my eyes in past performance. See, past performance is an indicator, too. If a guy is unreliable, when does he all of a sudden become reliable? You've seen unreliability. Like, these receivers, you've already seen it. You've seen it with Aguilar is unreliable. So what are you hoping for?
But they said it was bad luck with Pivetta. And maybe the Eagles thought, you know what it was?
Bad luck with Aguilar?
I just can't imagine it, because the Hembo tweet, I retweeted it. If people want to go find it, I retweeted it. These are balls that any, maybe high school level receiver would catch the ball, and he missed all four of them. It's unbelievable. And a couple of those were game-changing plays, where if he catches that, they win. And he's managed to mess up multiple game-changing plays that the coach did the right thing, the line blocked, the quarterback did the right thing, and he still dropped
it. That's the most perplexing thing to me, that A, Doug Peterson would not recognize, listen, I got nothing. Oh, because I have nothing, I had played a different way, so let's use this package here. And if he doesn't understand it, is there somebody not standing up and saying, hey, Coach, come here. Let's get a cup of coffee. Coach, we got nothing. You know, like, well, I don't understand it. I don't get it.
You don't know. No one else is.
Let's go to Jerome in Elkins Park. Jerome, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Jerome.
Hello, 2-6.
What's going on, man?
Hey, I want to start off by saying, you start with the orchestrator, the maestro. He says, when he's in front of that band, who is, like, coming in too strong and who's not contributing? And we know who I'm talking about. You know, his first name's Doug. I don't have to say the last name. If he doesn't realize that the Patriots' deficiencies as far as run defense and what your general strength is, you know, that's that's a problem to start. If you take and bring back an IJ, and we're not talking about somebody who wasn't in your system before, who? And I'm not talking about him starting or whatever.
Ajayi.
But, Thank you. I know I said it wrong, but we know who I was talking about.
Yeah, it's all right. He played for a team that won the Super Bowl, so I was.
Well, my thing is this, Mike.
What?
You can still have five plays, even if he just goes in as a decoy, and use him in conjunction with Sanders.
No, see, you're being unrealistic about the Ajayi
factor. Think I'm being realistic.
No,
you're
really not. You know? You can't expect that a guy who's been on the street for 13 months is going to come in and help you. But you don't need to have Ajayi help you. You got Miles Sanders that you can put in different situations.
But he shouldn't be there just solo, because you had Miles Sanders and a guy who was maybe just 200 pounds, you know? What was Scott going to do for you? So
I think you're putting too much stock in
Ajayi. Well,
you remember him 2 years ago. See, people make that mistake all the time.
When people call you guys up, it's not to be super critical or throwing our hands up in the air and everything is gone. I want to see the quarterback succeed, but I want him to initiate himself into something. If he feels there's something that's not going right, go over and say, "Hey, coach, we haven't used a Philly special. Let's use it." And I know who said it. I'm not trying to prick nobody's balloon, but everybody is responsible for the way that the things have happened. Sure, some people have more blame than others. But guess what, Mike?
How's everyone doing?
When the leaves fall down and they come into your lawn, you know what's good about it? You can gross about it, but you know what the solution is. You go out and you clean your lawn, right?
Yeah.
It's not that difficult.
Try to connect.
That's right. You got it. Just like we're doing right now.
Clean your
lawn.
Just
like I hope I'm doing with Tyrone.
These are on the lawn. Clean your lawn.
I got some red can spray for your guy and kick you some freckles. I'm hitting you. You're a stand-up comic. Yeah. Just your middle name's got to be Rusty, though. Hi, Nat. Appreciate it.
The hell are you even talking about, bro? You went off the deep end. Cece went to the leave analogy.
He got a little deep.
We were with him.
Started with the balloon.
He took
he went a little Jiffy Pop on me there.
Yeah.
What's the spray paint for?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I wish I got the joke. I'm always open for a good joke.
Is there a black comic that has freckles?
Not that I know. Sinbad.
Maybe he was
Sinbad.
Going,
yeah, remember
going,
him?
Maybe he's going.
He had a nice run.
He's going to Sinbad thing.
I hope not.
Yeah, I ran into Sinbad at the Bo Holyfield fight in Vegas.
You did?
Back in the day?
Yeah.
Was he nice?
Well, he was playing on the strip, down the strip, and he just came over, I guess, before his second show.
Uh-huh.
And he was just standing up kind of in the corridor where I was, like, sitting where in the area.
What'd you say?
I said, "What's up, Sinbad?"
Oh, there you go.
And Rucker Hauer was there also. Rucker Hauer, who recently passed away, the actor was in the The Hitcher. Was it The Hitcher with C. Thomas Howe, where he would kill people by hooking them up to trucks and pulling them apart?
That sounds familiar.
It's The Hitcher. I think it was The Hitcher.
All right.
Did you watch the Sinbad show?
Rucker Hauer was just blasted out of his mind, and he was trying to find his seat, and his eyes were like this. He's a complete whack faced.
And those fights
are... He gets his ticket, and he gives it to the usher, and the usher goes, "Sir, this seating is on the other side of the arena, so you have to go all the way around." And Rucker Hauer looked at him and went, "Oh."
Oh, man.
I just walked away.
And those fights are early Vegas time.
Yeah, I forget what
that was. Oh, well, Booney wants to depress you real fast.
What's that?
As bad as the Eagles have been, he thinks between Pat Neshek, David Robertson, Tommy Hunter, and Arrieta, even the Phillies are even worse than the Eagles at the evaluation, not the other way around.
Well, again, they didn't factor in. People make an evaluation without factoring in time.
Yeah.
Like, they don't. They don't factor in time. Like this last guy, Jay Jai, you remember him 2 years ago. That's not the same as Jai you get now.
Fans don't either. They go, receiving core.
Alshon Jeter. You're right. Not the same guy.
Not the same guy.
You don't got to factor in time. Yeah, so Sinbad was in the corridor, and a kid was in the stands way up top, and he's yelling down at him, "Sinbad!" And Sinbad didn't look up.
Sinbad was so cool in the 90s.
And the kid kept going, "Sinbad!"
And he couldn't give him a little way?
Sinbad would look. Look, so I found the kid went to this one. Mr. Bad! And he looked up.
Oh, there you go.
Mr. Bad.
Mr. Bad. He's back on tour.
Is he?
Yeah, he's been making appearances. He's been making the rounds.
I like Sinbad.
I liked him too.
He had some HBO specials. He had a real.
Did you watch the sitcom? Remember he had that show? He had the Sinbad show. On TV.
I remember that. But yeah. I remember on A Different World as well. Yeah. I remember on A Different World.
Yeah.
A Different World was the top five.
He was a groundbreaker.
He had a nice run, Sinbad. Nice run.
Let's go to Millersville. Karen, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Karen.
Okay, so I had three comments. Mm-hmm. One, I think Howie has shown he can put together a good team, but I think we have to move past our Super Bowl dream team, and we've got to get new guys for these older ones who are just not able to cut it anymore.
I think they've learned a valuable lesson, Karen, that when you cross your fingers and you bring back a 36-year-old Darren, 37-year-old Darren Sproles, you bring back Jason Peters, you bring back guys and think they're going to be the same, it's faulty thinking.
Yeah, and some of that is nostalgia. We love this team. It was such great chemistry, but you got to move on.
Yeah, you can't. Fans can be nostalgic. GMs can't. Except when it came to Brian Dawkins. That's when the one case where they should have been nostalgic, and they weren't.
I agree.
They had hardcore Joey Banner in there at the time. hardcore didn't want to know anything. You're 30 years old? Get out!
Oh, man.
You lose! Good day, sir!
That's right. See, Brian Dawkins, town hero, get out!
Yeah, but we brought him back. He got his number up there.
Yeah, but at the time it was bad.
It was. Mm-hmm. I think Wentz probably is overrated. I don't think he's the worst. I don't think he's the best. But I think, man, I don't know what you guys all saw in him. He does miss Sanders tons, his decision-making. And I don't know if that's Doug or if that's him.
Well, listen, Karen, you know football a little bit, right?
A little bit, sure.
All right, what do you think of their wide receivers? Not good, right? You're going to start last week. You're going to start J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, Jordan Matthews off the street, and now Sly Aguilar at the wide receiver. Now, what would you think as a coach? How would you handle that?
Oh, yeah, no. They would not be my primary.
Right. You change the game plan a little bit, right? Karen from Millersville knows that. This guy's a head football coach.
Yeah. But I will say a shout out to the defense. I thought hands down, Darby. Like, okay, guys, you know, you held them.
They did.
One touchdown.
They played extremely well, the defense. And they're coming on. And so you look at him and go, all right, can you outscore Russell Wilson this game and have your defense hold him down below 20? Can your defense hold Russell Wilson down below 20? I guess it's possible. It's not likely. So it's not likely. Your game plan offensively better be supersonic. You can't do the same game plan that you did against the New England Patriots. You got to figure out a different way. I hope they're savvy enough to do that. I hope they're in the think tank right now. And Doug's got all his peeps around him. And everybody is like throwing different opinions at him. And he's taking notes.
Yeah, I don't feel great about it. Unless they get two turnovers. Then I feel great about it.
All right. Well,
they didn't get turnovers last week.
Possible.
But maybe if they get turnovers, this defense looks like, I know it's looking like the defensive line's getting pressure. They got pressure on Brady. Brady extended some plays. He did not have a good game. If they make him run and you can get, if they can get two turnovers, they can win.
I got news for you.
They got to get two, though.
Even if they lose, I'm not out. Because it still comes down to that one game.
Assuming
we had these two games to play with, really, that's why like this sky is falling thing is like, you know, what it told you they lost to the Patriots is that they can't win a Super Bowl. That's what that told you. It was a loss. It wasn't a season crippler.
No, it wasn't.
All right, 610-632-0975. That's how you get in. It's the Mike Missanelli Show. It's right here on 97.5 The Fanatic, ABC Sports Philly.
The Mike Missanelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
That's the time, Mike Mussnelli Show. The weather's pretty pleasant out there right now, isn't it? Is it going to be warm this weekend?
This weekend?
I don't know. Let me see.
Warm or cold? Is it golf weather? It's 50 right now.
Ooh. No, it's not golf weather.
It's not golf weather this weekend?
No, we talk about...
39 and rain.
Yeah.
And Sunday snow, 46.
Yeah.
Friday, it's going to be 57.
You might have to... But it's going to rain on Friday, too. You might have to take a day off if you want to golf.
No, I'm not gonna do that.
Well, I wasn't suggesting it.
Taste 54.
Take advantage of weekend 50 weather, 50 degrees weather to play golf. I don't play in anything lower than 50.
Well, nah, 40. No,
I'm seeing 46.
That's Sunday.
Sunday 46 snow.
No, I see Saturday 46.
Saturday 39 rain.
I'm seeing 40 in rain.
I don't know where you guys are.
I'm looking at Bala Cynwyd where we are.
I'm looking at AccuWeather.
Let's bet the shore.
Yeah. I don't know.
44 in rain, 48 in rain. Oof.
About Glenn Hurricane Swartz, he help a brother out. We'll be looking at this weekend. He'll get to us.
Yeah, 39.
I see. That's not what I'm
46.
Reading.
46.
Yeah, I don't know what you're seeing.
Well.
Natalie.
Next time.
Yep. All right, back to the phones. Let's go. Joe, Center City. Joe, you're a 97.5 Fanatic. Joe.
Hey, how are you?
What's up?
Hey, I just want to say thank you very much for bringing us all back down to reality a little bit. The sky's falling crowd is getting on my nerves a little bit too. I you know, a couple weeks back, I really did think that we could maybe win this game, but you know, last week you just had, you know, Alshon not going to play. Then you had Sproles, you know, out for the year. Then you had Jordan Howard not going to play. Then you had Lane Johnson in the middle of the game go out, right? Not coming back. And then you got Vitae coming in who gives up a fumble. You know what I mean? It's just like, I don't know what everybody was really expecting.
Well, I think they were looking at the fact they were at the 26-yard line with a chance to tie it.
Right.
That set people up. If the Patriots would have whacked them, we would have felt that tease. But they did have a chance to win that game despite all those problems.
Absolutely. And I get that, too. And obviously, I'm there with you. I mean, I think that really after that, you know, whatever that was, 10-minute-long drive, I thought they were going to win, too. But at the same time, it's like, you're right. It's like, what are you expecting when you
win? Yeah, at the end of the day, even though it looked like they could have won that game, at the end of the day, it's like, well, we expected they were going to lose that one anyway. So it shouldn't bring our expectations down that they can't win the division. You know, that's all I'm saying. And that's the very best I got. Now, I don't have anything beyond that, believe me.
Yeah. It would be nice if we won this game against Seattle so we didn't have to win out.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it's not the end of the world if we lose that game either. You know what I mean? Honestly, when the schedule first came out, I thought that we'd have a better chance of beating the Patriots than Seattle because, you know, we always have a difficult time really with a mobile quarterback.
Yeah. I had a hunch they were going to win that game last week. I put it out there as a hunch. It didn't work out.
Yeah.
Now, this week, I'm not feeling the line's going down considerably in Seattle's favor. That's 1.5 now, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So, I would not expect that they're going to win this game either. But there you go. That's the end. Only loss they can afford. Six.
Then they got to win out.
Yep.
Team, that has happened before. They wouldn't be the only team in it, especially with four of the games being gimmies.
Exactly. They had the easiest schedule left.
Just
in the NFL after this game.
After this game.
Yes. Mike in Redding, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Mike.
Oh, Mike.
What's up, bud?
I didn't know you liked to be called first, the 2-6. That was pretty good.
Hey, 2-6.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I kind of like that.
Yeah, I see. It's all right.
It's pretty bad. Anyway, you know, I have two questions. First one is midnight. Can I start with Midnight Run?
Sure.
So I ordered it on eBay, and I ordered a Region B Blu-ray DVD. I don't know if you know what that is. It's a violation. It's only Europe, so I can't watch it on my Xbox.
You ordered the wrong one?
There's region, I didn't know this, there's region A, B, and C.
Oh, no.
And there's we're actually in the same region as North Korea. But I want to ask about the film. Is it like, before I try to buy it again, is it like in the comedy buddy flick era area of Lethal Weapon?
Or is wait, have you never seen Midnight Run?
No, and I'm I haven't seen that or Chinatown.
Going on demand.
What's that?
Going on demand. It only costs you $2.99.
I don't have Comcast, and I want to like.
What do you have? Nothing.
And if I like it, I want to spend the money on it to own it. You know what I mean?
Oh, like you'll definitely like it. There's no one that wouldn't like the movie.
It's just like it's all of its own buddy action comedy.
Yeah, it's exactly that. But it's really well acted and it's fun to watch.
Okay, cool. Yeah. And the Eagles, as far as I'm concerned, I'm out. I talk about it today with my buddy. I think I pull all the pieces together. I'm still searching. Some people see it right what it is. It's just like Doug Peterson's a yes man. Howie Roseman is kind of corny. They got, you know, they did do a good job with 2017. Don't get me wrong. I appreciate it.
What do you mean he's kind of corny? What does that mean?
Roseman?
Yeah. Roseman, yeah.
It's just like, I don't know. I think that Lori's a weird dude and he just trusts him. Mm-hmm. And Doug is he's better than Andy Reid, but he's still the yes man. And then you have like this organization that I went through this whole summer with the Phillies. Like, you're telling me Velasquez and like the Beta and all these other
team did win a Super Bowl here. You know,
you guys just made the point. Darren Sproles and Jason Peters.
No, I get it. They haven't done anything. Like this year has not been a great year, but it's not like they haven't had success. You know, if Howie Roseman, Doug Peterson's a yes man, and Howie Roseman's what do you call him? Corny.
Corny.
It didn't get in the way of them winning the big prize. So, you know, that was a little harsher of a judgment than I expected. Duke in Delaware, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Duke. Yo, Duke. 12 Donut Duke.
Hey.
What's up?
Hey, man.
That's a violation.
What? Duke, I can hardly hear you, Duke.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, get closer to the receiver there, buddy.
I am.
All right.
Are you all right now?
Yeah. Hey, you don't have it on a speaker, do you?
No, I got
okay.
you.
Okay. All right. Go ahead. Go ahead, Duke. We got you.
Hey, listen. Sunday was a bad day, I tell you.
Mm-hmm.
It was my birthday.
Oh, Sunday was your birthday?
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh.
I was 88 Sunday.
God bless you, Duke. Congratulations. But, you know, 88.
That game killed me.
Nah, you're hardy. You still sound
good. Oh, man, I'm telling you. But listen, this Wentz, since he got hurt, they did something to him. They put him in a box and they're covering him up.
I love when you said this Wentz. I love that kind of thing. Like, this Wentz. Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's not what? What's your problem with Wentz right now?
You're going to see a good quarterback come up this Sunday. And he better take a lesson from him.
Yeah, Russell Wilson's pretty good.
You hear me? Hey, say hello to Monroe and Natalie.
I will, Duke. You got it. I love when people go, this Wentz.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's a very 88-year-old saying.
It is. It's an old... It's an older man.
88 years old. What year was that? 20, 30, what?
Oh, it's great.
Let's do the math real fast before we go to break.
88. God bless him.
I know. He's sweet.
I got no shot.
Born in 1931. Pre-WW2.
Yeah.
Was that Roosevelt? Was that Herbert Hoover? Who was that?
See, now that's
another
Hoover.
Who was the president in 1931?
All right.
Who was the president?
I'm going to guess and say...
Was it Hoovy?
Hoover.
And Monroe, what do you got?
Herbert Hoover.
Yes.
Hoovy. All right. 6-1-0.
Not a good man.
No, he messed up this country in a lot of different ways. It's the Mike Misnelli Show. We're back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.